This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
U.S. lawmakers unveil a spending package with just days to go to avoid a government shutdown. Plus, tech companies end 2022 with a perfect record in fighting off tougher regulation.
One of the great things about being one of the biggest companies in the world is you've got pretty deep pockets when it comes to advertising, to lobbying.
And in a surprise move, the Bank of Japan lets a benchmark rate rise. It's Tuesday, December 20th. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The U.S. has delayed proposing rules on tax incentives for electric vehicles after encountering strong pushback from European and Asian allies, who had said that the subsidy program discriminated against their companies. The EV tax incentives are designed to accelerate a transition to cleaner vehicles, but also included complex sourcing requirements that aimed to boost domestic production. The Treasury Department said that details on the battery sourcing requirements that electric vehicles must meet in order to qualify for tax credits will now be released in March instead of by the end of the year as earlier planned. Staying in Washington, lawmakers have unveiled a spending bill for fiscal 2023 as they race to pass the bill by the end of the week in the last act of the Democratic-controlled Congress. Congress must pass the spending package through both chambers of Congress before the expiration of an interim funding bill that runs through December 23rd. The bill is the product of months of behind-the-scenes haggling and includes funding for additional support for the war in Ukraine, as well as a policy provision to make it harder to block the certification of a presidential election. The Bank of Japan says it will let the benchmark interest rate on its 10-year government bond rise as high as 0.5%, up from a quarter of 1% now, a surprise move that pushed the yen higher. Wall Street Journal reporter Megumi Fujikawa has more on the decision, which was announced by Bank Governor Haruhiku Kuroda.
The Bank of Japan's move ends a long period in which it was the only major central bank not to increase rates. Market players had anticipated that time might be running out on the Bank of Japan's low rate policy, but they generally didn't expect Mr. Kuroda to move at today's meeting. Bond rates jumped while stocks fell as investors digested the possibility that companies would have to pay higher interest on their debt.
FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried inched closer yesterday to being transferred from the Bahamas, where he is currently under arrest, into U.S. custody to face criminal charges related to the cryptocurrency exchange's collapse. After a chaotic court hearing Monday in which his local lawyer appeared at odds with Bankman-Fried's U.S. legal team, Bankman-Fried is said to have agreed to be extradited, according to a person familiar with the matter. Bankman-Fried has said he bore responsibility for FTX's collapse, but has denied he committed any fraud. Disgraced film producer Harvey Weinstein was convicted Monday of three counts of sexual assault and related crimes in Los Angeles and acquitted of another. The jury failed to reach a verdict on three other counts. Weinstein, who is already a convicted sex offender, could face decades in prison in California, along with the 23 years to which he was sentenced in New York. Attorneys for Weinstein declined to comment, as did the assistant district attorneys who prosecuted the case. And on tap for today, the U.S. Commerce Department will report November data on building permits and housing starts, which have been trending lower in recent months compared to a year earlier. And on Wall Street, earnings updates are expected from the likes of General Mills, Nike, and FedEx. Investing in data centers, the often sprawling facilities that store everything from our digital photos to old bank statements and flight reservations, promises a heady combination of growth and income as those facilities try and handle the explosion of data and cloud computing. But for investors, actually turning a profit off of this digital real estate is proving harder than many initially forecast. And joining us now with a look at why this sector isn't meeting expectations for tech-like growth is Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street editor Spencer Jacob. Spencer, hello. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Spencer, so much of our lives is in the cloud. I would have imagined the digital real estate sector would just be taking off. Is that not the case?
You know, the volume of data that's stored is tremendous, and it continues to grow a lot. But technology continues to advance, and so the digital footprint that one must use to store that, whether your company like AWS, which is part of Amazon, or Azure, has shrunk. That doesn't mean that the need for real estate is slowing down, but it is a complicated and very expensive business, and the companies that are in the business of kind of outsourcing this provision of real estate have been growing a lot, but it's also quite expensive, and growth is not guaranteed, and it is slowing a bit at the margins.
I mean, you're still describing growth here at the end of the day. Why then aren't investors so easily able to really capitalize on that growth?
Well, they really have been lured in by the growth. So you have these gigantic real estate investment trusts that are open to retail investors that have been piling into this. But the thing about real estate investment trusts is they constantly have to issue new debt and new shares in order to capture that growth. And the returns were never that spectacular because they have very tough customers. I mean, AWS and Azure and all these guys, they know exactly what all this stuff costs because they build it themselves. So if they're going to outsource it to you, they're not going to leave a ton of money on the table. And some of the things that they built 10 years ago or 15 years ago, now the leases are coming up. And these data centers are actually not big enough or modern enough. And so some of them are going to be difficult to rent out at the same kind of lease rates that they originally got. And you even have stories of some of them being turned into, like, you know, hydroponic farms and things like that, which is fine, but you're not going to get the same rent growing tomatoes as you were processing bank accounts and stuff.
That was Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street editor Spencer Jacob. Spencer, thank you so much for the update.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll look back on the year that wasn't for tech regulation on Capitol Hill and consider whether 2023 is likely to be any different. That's after the break.
This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
There are just a few days left before Congress adjourns for the year. And for major U.S. tech companies, 2022 has been a pretty good year, at least on the legislative front, as they have built a perfect record so far in blocking major congressional legislation that could have impeded their business interests. So how exactly did they do that? And is their Capitol Hill winning streak likely to continue? Wall Street Journal reporter John D. McKinnon covers high-tech policy for us out of Washington, D.C., and he joins us now with more. Hey, John.
Nice to be with you.
Boys, it sounds like big tech had a pretty good 2022. Give us some of their highlights.
Sure. The biggest win of all has been on the antitrust front, where they were facing several pieces of legislation that got through House committee last year, in 2021, and then this year got through a Senate committee. And so they were really staring down the barrel of a very serious threat to them, which could have resulted in all kinds of changes to their business models and all kinds of restrictions on the ways they operate. And ultimately, it appears that all of that legislation is going to get bottled up in Congress this year and not happen. So that's been the big win for them. But they've also had notable successes in blocking legislation to impose accountability and liability on them for the actions and comments and content of their users, particularly on social media. That's a big potential risk for them. But so far, efforts to impose that kind of liability on them have failed. And so that's been another notable achievement that they've had. And there's also been little progress lately on the privacy front. There was also a big effort this year that was even supported by some tech companies to pass privacy legislation that would have given users like you and me a lot more control over our online lives. And that, too, has fallen by the wayside as we head into the final days of Congress.
You've listed there a number of different legislative efforts, John. Is there a through line to all of this, sort of an overarching goal that Congress has been hoping to achieve with respect to regulation of tech?
Well, I mean, the big picture is that Congress created this very lightly regulated environment when they passed a lot of legislation in the 1990s to sort of get the internet going. And now we've got these online giants who are some of the most valuable companies in the world now. They are the most valuable companies in the world. And yet they still have very little regulation on them. And basically the through line is people in Congress are thinking, well, it's probably time we imposed a little more regulation on this environment. And so far, the companies have fought it off pretty successfully.
And to what do tech companies owe this success?
Well, one of the great things about being one of the biggest companies in the world is you've got pretty deep pockets when it comes to advertising, to lobbying expenditures, to hiring academics and think tanks that will help promote your cause. And so they've had just tremendous outpourings of support from their lobbying efforts, from their advertising, from their third-party support.
And just to be clear, is this behind-the-scenes lobbying or I don't know, TV ads, things people out in the world are actually seeing on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, that's right. A lot of their advertising that they've paid over $100 million for in the last 2 years has been to support their cause with the public, to sort of promote their views on particularly the antitrust legislation, which they've said would threaten to break the internet.
And John, in terms of whether this winning streak for big tech is likely to continue, tell us about the regulatory outlook.
Well, in the short run, there's a week or so left in the current Congress, and there are at least a couple of narrowly targeted bills that could still become laws. One would extend more protections online to children, and the other would try to limit the gatekeeper powers of Apple and Google, who are the dominant players in the mobile space. In the longer run, you've got a Congress next year that will be controlled by Democrats in the Senate and Republicans in the House. And a lot of people just think that 2022 was a pretty good year for getting stuff done in the tech regulation space. And next year, it's just going to get harder because there'll be both chambers will be narrowly divided. It'll be hard to get much done in either one of them. And it'll also be hard for the two chambers to agree because one's Democratic and one's Republican.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter John D. McKinnon, who covers high-tech policy for us out of Washington. John, thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
And finally, what's small? Plastic and seeing better average returns than stocks and gold? The answer lately for fans and collectors is Legos. Victoria Dobrinskaya is an associate professor of finance at the Higher School of Economics University in Moscow, where she's been researching Lego investing and explains why it has some similarities to investing in more established collectibles like wine and art.
So Lego is very close to performance of fine wines, because wines also appreciate over time. Also, they're similar in the respect that their supply is diminishing over time. And Lego is less expensive, it is more affordable on the primary market. And small sets generate the highest returns. And we find that it is not highly correlated with the stock market, particularly on the downside. When the general stock market is falling, Lego prices didn't fall at the same periods. So Lego could be seen as kind of a hedge for the stock market.
And I am officially adding rummaging through my childhood toys to the holiday to-do list now. And that's What's News for Tuesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.